You know, Roland, last week we talked about, I queried you on a question. And it led up, we didn't get a chance to finish that segment as well as I would have liked to. But now I have a thought. If I had a witch, Well, I've had some witches before in my life. But if I had a wish, perchance to dream from of course, William Shakespeare's Midnight Summer Dream. If you had a wish on this planet, what would your wish be? What would your dream be for this world in which we live in?
Should I answer you as if I were a Miss America pageant contestant?
Please don't.
Or?
Please don't. Answer me in the sense that you can do it in a funny and more eclectic manner, if you'd like, or you can do it in a sense of proportion.
Well, you know, I think
to
all
the world
of
in which we live.
I think all of us have wishes and hopes that change on a constant basis, based upon our understanding of the world condition.
Correct, and it keeps changing.
And also, what we hope for, you know, the world to be. I mean, obviously, I mean, we've got going on this world at the moment something like 35, 36 open wars.
Yes.
One of my wishes would be that we don't have any of those. Okay. We've got the Gaza going on. You've got the Ebola crisis. You've got, to me, it's still Fukushima Daiichi, the
yes.
problem of radiation in Japan that nobody's really looking at and should be looking at. And I'm talking about our experts, not just people like me who read a lot, and you
yes.
who read a lot.
Sure.
There are so many things out there, Carl, that that require wishes. But you know what? They don't really require wishes. You know what they require? Action. We need to be the evidence of what we say we want. And most of us are not doing that on a day-to-day basis.
You know, it leads me to, and here we go on this. I don't know if you've launched me. I will keep it brief. We look at the most non-productive Congress we've had in the history of the United States. And the last thing that it could possibly do, other than dealing with the question of the Veterans Administration bill, which has to be done politically, it should have been done on a moral issue, more importantly, however, they deal with the question of suing the president. That's their last act as they leave for 5 weeks. Now, something's wrong with that. However, if I had a wish, and I follow on behind your wish, which is exactly the same, I'm wondering whether our perchance to dream is not one built out of a world that is more in King Arthur's court.
A Pollyanna world?
Yes, a Pollyanna world.
But well, and that's not at King Arthur's court, but...
Well, King Arthur's court had a sense of proportion to the world, and the world was under their control, and they kept things in proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And though it wasn't perfect, it was better than what we define as being today. And I would wonder if in your wishes and the things that you hope for, which are my wishes as well, I would also hope for somewhere down the line, someone or group of people, man or woman, I don't care from what country, has a sense of proportion to be able to answer some of those questions and to do something about them.
Until we see ourselves all as one, and I'll make that a capital O-N-E,
yes.
rather than one, if we see ourselves as one in the... gestalt of spirit, where the all that is created all of us at the
yes.
hopefully at the same time in order to experience things as us through us.
And it can be. It doesn't, was it Teddy Roosevelt who noted that it doesn't have to be all the answers, it has to be one step along the road. Okay? It doesn't matter what that step is. One step, education, health. Let's deal simply with the important issues of our time.
Well, who was it that said a journey begins with a single step?
A single step.
In order to, and I think it was the Buddha who said that you, in order to get to what you want to accomplish, you have to start walking.
Well, we're not walking. We're standing. And let's not stand anymore. Your wish... perchance to dream, okay? And I remember that statement. I told an English professor of mine, and when I was taking my doctoral dissertation, that perchance to dream is more important than almost anything else, because if you don't dream, if you don't wish that something is going to happen, nothing ever happens. You've got to dream that dream. It's a dream. It's called a daydream if you want to, but it's a dream. And I dream that this could be better. I dream I can do that. Perchance to dream.
Well, in esoteric philosophy, as I understand it, that what you think becomes.
Yes.
So you need to dream the whatever it is you want, but you need to hold on to that dream. You need to give it power. You need to give it thought. You need to give it energy of your own being in order for it to happen.
I wrote a dissertation paper on that, and I got a C, ladies and gentlemen. The professor did not agree with me. True. He did not agree that perchance to dream is the power to make things happen, but you have to dream first.
But, you know, that's another question, though. Do you have to then appeal to a professor's belief system in order to get an A in something that the professor might not, with which he might not agree?
At this point in our age, where we are now, of course not. I would just say, I'm going to write the paper that I believe in, and I'm going to write it. Be damned the score, be damned the mark, be damned the pass-fail, call it what you will. In when you're younger and you're trying to impress, you write for the system. And that's a disappointment I've always had.
I'm not so sure, Carl, that it's just because you're younger. What I've seen today among our colleagues in the media is that they write what they think people want to read or want to hear.
You're going to launch me on this one.
Well, I'm not launching you. I mean, you can't launch where I already am.
But in our business, these are our colleagues. They don't, in my opinion, most of them don't get it. Get it. Understand the world in which you live in. You can't write about something you don't know anything about. How could you possibly do that? How could you articulate on something that you've done, you haven't even researched on? I don't get it. And they'll pontificate. They'll stand on that soapbox and tell us what they think, and it ain't.
A.J. Liebling, many, many years ago, said, a reporter writes about what he or she sees. A commentator writes about what he or she sees and what they construe to be its meaning. An editorialist writes about what he or she hasn't seen and what they construe to be its meaning.
Brilliant. I had not heard that. That's brilliant. Because it defines the three levels, okay? I fall someplace between a commentator and an editor, I would believe then. Somewhere in there, I see things and I want to comment on them, but I also want to do something about them.
I think every single individual, Carl, falls between the commentator and editor.
Yes.
When you read the newspaper at home, when you read the internet, when you read a book, you develop an opinion of that, and then you use that in your discussion with friends and family, etc., to either make a point or refute a point.
I always look at these people who volunteer, particularly here on the East Coast, when Sandy, and by the way, we still have many homes, many, many thousands of homes that have not been repaired because of insurance, quote-unquote insurance questions, and the misuse, in my opinion, of state funds to get at them. They will eventually, but 2 years is a long time to live in a motel. My point is the people that volunteer to do that have done something about that. They dreamed. They said, here's a problem. Let's go fix that. And they're out there volunteering by the thousands. I think that's remarkable. And I applaud them for their efforts because they're doing something. The question is, you must pick up your tuchus and do it. It may not necessarily always be the right way to do it, but you're doing it.
Okay. For those who might not know, define tuchus.
Tuchus is the gluteus maximus you sit on. Okay?
And I was surprised that you got that answer.
Danced on that issue. I'm dancing as fast as I can here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, do you realize, I mean, in this particular segment, we have talked about 6 different things.
We danced.
And we know little bit about any of them.
Yes, but we danced lightly.
Across Texas.
It was Bernard Shaw who noted, we danced lightly across the stage. When we danced lightly, the wind is above our feet.
Yeah, there's a minute to go in this particular segment, Carl, and you asked me the question, what are my wishes and my hopes?
Yes.
What about you?
My wishes and hopes are to be able to clarify the problems we have to solve them. clarify. Clarity is when there is clarity in the world, whether we agree or disagree. When there's clarity to the question, we will solve that question.
Is the precursor to clarity communication?
Without question.
Conversation?
And in an age of communication, when we can tap on and call someone around the world in a moment's notice, we have less communication now than we've had in years.
And it's also, maybe even the forerunner of that would be to listen intently to what somebody else is saying, because only then might you have an avenue, just an avenue, to understand.
It only takes an avenue, one step at a time. If I hear you, I may understand you, but I've heard you. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we hear all. And sometimes we answer. We're back. Stay with us.
America Weekend. Brand like a rock star with Steve Jones. Rock and roll has always been about youth. So when Roger Daltrey sang "I Hope I Die Before I Get Old" in The Who's classic My Generation, the young fans loved it. Daltrey wasn't trying to appeal to everyone when he sang that line. He was talking just to the young people. He was talking to his tribe in the language of his tribe. Most marketing fails to do that and tries to speak to everyone. Keep in mind the old adage, when you try to please everybody, you please nobody. Don't be afraid to use your marketing to speak to your consumers in their words about what matters to them. For more ways to make your business rock, visit brandlikearockstar.com.
Get the IRS off your back with one phone call. Talk to a live professional tax relief agent and stop worrying about your tax problems. That's the wall difference. It's easy.
Call 1-800-719-5564.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Have you ever noticed your child behaves better in some places than others? Maybe they're better at school or show their manners better at grandma's. To use this to your advantage, you need to know the social science of it. I was staying in one of those fancy schmancy hotels where everyone ubiquitously says my pleasure and good morning or good afternoon. Anyway, I passed a mom, dad, and three children in the hallway. All said good morning, except the youngest, who added good morning, sir. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, in this environment, it was appropriate to say good morning, and the children learned quickly and complied. You see, children will mirror the behaviors they see around them. All behavior, good or bad, starts at home and extends from there. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.